What's up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 75. Today, I will be talking about how I built a residual online income stream in 1 year's time. I will be talking about the podcast, the inception of it, as well as how I got my initial success with it. I'll be talking about how I then monetized with affiliate marketing, how I monetized with group coaching packaging, and then how I monetized by eventually creating an Instagram course and why I chose to do it. Now, the tricky part of this episode was for me to explain things in terms of general business, because obviously in this episode, I'm going to be talking about then I tried to sell you guys this. And if you hear it as me just trying to sell you stuff, which I'm not at all, then you are going to not get the point of this episode. You need to listen to why I created every offer, why I did it in the order that I did, how I took the data and the sales results from each offer to then create a winning offer out of the next one. If you are an inventor of a brand new product, you can use the exact same models that I used to build your business. If you're a coach, obviously you can directly use it. But in general, if you just hear about how I, you know, think about entrepreneurship in this episode, you're really going to get a lot out of it. So I do think that this episode, more so than any episode I've ever put out, will help you avoid entrepreneurship failure as much as I possibly can. So I do hope you make it to the end of this episode. I will be going into not just business, but also life in general, because I did go through a relationship last year. I have had a lot of struggles with parents supporting entrepreneurship in the past. And it's very necessary to talk about this stuff sometimes, because I'm sure it's situations that you're all going through. You all have lives outside of business, and I'm going to be talking about how my life outside of business affected entrepreneurship, and things that you can do, things that I wish I would have done to make the entrepreneurship journey a little bit easier on people in your life, as well as how to get people in your life more on board with your ideas, and how to stay confident in your ideas despite having people in your life that might not believe in you. So a lot to cover in this episode, but really, I promise you, you're gonna want to stick around to the end of this episode. Take diligent notes, really take this to heart, and DM me at IGM Secrets if any part is unclear to you. But just a quick word from my sponsor, and we'll dive in. All right, guys, let's do this. So we are in January 1st, 2019. This is where the idea for the podcast came around. And when I started the podcast, I had no idea that I would even get into coaching or doing anything else apart from just laying down free content. I had no idea. And that's totally fine too. When I had the idea for the podcast, I was driving around with my girlfriend at the time, actually, and I wanted to find a new podcast to listen to on Instagram marketing, because I have an e-commerce company that I've been running for over 2 years now. And Instagram is our, you know, number one traffic source by far and away. And that's where I learned all the techniques that I brought to the show. I had been actively Instagramming for honestly about a year. I know a lot of people have done it longer than that. But for a year, I posted either one or two times every single day. I created a bunch of new contest strategies, you know, like specific types of giveaways, which if you've ever seen my masterclass, you understand one of the many different types of major growth hacks that I run to really build an Instagram page quick and with actual customers is the whole premise of all of my teachings. And I had all this knowledge on Instagram in my mind. And when I saw that, when I went to go look for an Instagram podcast to expand my knowledge and I couldn't find one, I was absolutely baffled. I couldn't believe that I had found a couple Instagram podcasts, but they were like three episodes long and then the person stopped, right? They came out with an episode, we'll just say in January, and then they came out with another one in March, and they came out with one in October after that, and then they never put one out. Like, they were not consistently doing it, and they would stop right away. And the only few podcasts that were still consistently putting out content, I felt like were more just centered around like Instagram as a platform, and not really like how to actually get sales. Like, you know, it's just like how to do hashtags and follow for unfollow and all these strategies that I had heard of. And I felt like I had all of this information on Instagram that was, I couldn't find it anywhere. Okay. And that's why I realized, look, the thing you're looking at right now, Derek, is you're looking at this blaring niche that there's not an Instagram podcast that is just taking the cake by far and away. You've got the knowledge. You can do this. I had to talk myself into it, of course, but a lot of you know that the day that I did think of that podcast is actually the day that I put out my first couple episodes. I wanted to lock in that keyword right away, because the reason why I was able to gain initial podcast traction is because I named it Instagram Marketing Secrets. I could have named it The Way of the Hashtag, or Get Followers, or something like that. But that's not how a search starts when someone's looking for an Instagram podcast. And I encourage you guys to think of it this way too when building any type of business, is to know that businesses nowadays are in the keywords, and titles are going to be the most SEO friendly thing. Okay, the title of anything, even if you go on like Google Maps and you type in diner, okay, like anything that's like Lou's Diner is going to come up. But if your place is called Jetson's, and then like the subheading is an old-fashioned diner, then it's not going to get picked up on Google Maps. So like literally every type of business nowadays starts with your customers are either starting on Google search, Google Maps search, podcast search, a YouTube search, whatever it is. So you got to know that business opportunities, one of the easiest ways to start a business quickly is to make it based around a keyword. So I wanted to own the keyword Instagram, and I also wanted to own the keyword Instagram marketing. Now, Instagram Marketing Secrets podcast is a mouthful. I wish it was shorter, but freaking Instagram is three syllables, marketing is three syllables, podcast is two, and it takes a while to spit out, but whatever, it needed to be done. I could have named it something shorter, but like I said, I wanted to own that keyword. Now, something that I haven't said about this story before is when I came up with the idea, like I said, I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I'm just going to be like very vulnerable with you guys, because I do feel like relationships and business, especially entrepreneurship, like relationships and careers are really one and the same. It's all life, right? And if you jump into a business opportunity that maybe jeopardizes your relationship a little bit, or it at least changes the dynamic, there's a lot of things that you need to consider. And this goes for whether you're the entrepreneur or you're the person that's dating the entrepreneur, is that you have to realize that whenever someone in your life is going to open up a new business, like let's say that maybe you're an entrepreneur, but you're dating someone who is as well, and they have a new business idea, it means that they're about to start a new undertaking. It could be years before it's of significance, and it really takes a lot of support. And when I first gave her the idea that, hey, there's a big like niche in the podcast market, there's not an Instagram podcast, her initial reaction was, well, no one wants to listen to a podcast on Instagram. And obviously, like, it's important to do market research, but I already well knew that Instagram, which is still by far and away the number one social media, and there's so many business owners in America that are looking for marketing advice, like, it's hardly a niche even, right? Instagram marketing podcast, it's hardly even a niche in itself. But she didn't like the idea of it. She thought it would be a waste of time. It took me a while before she was, you know, anywhere near supportive on it, honestly. So I'll leave it at that for now. This relationship might come back up later in this podcast, but I thought I should be clear about this, because you will always have people in your life, whether it is your spouse, your significant other, your parents, your friends, people that you just met, people online that leave comments, that you can have the best idea in the world, And there will be people in your life who will tell you it's a bad idea. And it is one of the first tests of being an entrepreneur is that can you still be confident in your idea even when people who are supposed to be supportive around you in your life might not be showing you that support? Are you still able to know that you have a good idea? It's not to say that, hey, no, your idea is good no matter what people tell you. But in this case, an Instagram podcast, I mean, everyone listening to this probably thinks, yeah, of course, you know, if there wasn't an Instagram podcast, that's quite the blaring niche. And everyone thinks of these big, crazy business opportunities multiple times in their life, but so few people act on them. And when they do act on them, they act on them with half-ass effort. And the thing you need to know about entrepreneurship, okay, write this down in your mind if you're driving, or write this down big on a piece of paper so that you really internalize this. Entrepreneurship is a race. Okay, whenever you come up with a business idea, you need to understand that multiple people in the world just thought of that idea at the same time as you, and the timer just started. So if you think you can come up with an amazing business idea and think, oh, cool, I'm going to open that up in a few years, then you need to know that there is a solid chance that if it actually is a good idea, that it may be taken by that time. And it's not to say that if you want to open up a burger shop and in 2 years you finally get around to it and someone already opened a burger shop, sure, another burger shop can exist. All right. I know like it can still happen, but there are plenty of types of businesses and inventions out there that you could be running in a race to get the patent before these other people. Like even the light bulb, we attribute it to Thomas Edison, but it's known that there's a lot of people that actually invented the light bulb at the same time. They just didn't get the word out quick enough. They didn't get branded with that. And something you need to know in marketing is that the first person to a market is always going to be the easiest to remember, regardless of if they are the best. Let me give you an example. Who's the first man on the moon?
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
Neil Armstrong. Most people can answer that. When asked who the second person is on the moon, I do know it's in my mind somewhere. I can't think of it right now. And, you know, some of you are thinking, oh, it's this guy, it's this guy. And there's a ton of you that don't know. There's at least way less of you that know who that second person is on the moon than the first. Okay, who's the first woman to circumnavigate the world? Amelia Earhart. Who's the second? I have no idea, all right? Being the first to a market, to a niche, is a huge, huge, huge advantage. So whenever you come up with a business idea that you actually want to act on, you need to give yourself this kind of mindset that someone else in the world just thought of it and they are on it right now. And regardless of if I ever hear about them or see them or anything, I will constantly think to myself, my competition is working harder than me right now. And that fires me up, all right? That should not stress you out. Never let that stress you out. That is a key source of motivation right there. Someone else is about to do your same idea. And if you don't get it out soon enough, and if you don't build it quick enough, the idea will be a complete waste. That does not mean, so I won't even start, okay? I've never thought that way. I guess I can't relate when I think. I know most of you have this issue. I can't relate. I'm sorry. When it comes down to, oh, well, what if I can't do it? Like, I never think that. If anyone can do it, then I can definitely do it. And I really hope that you all have that same mindset, because I know most of you are probably hearing me say that thinking, oh, he's so cocky. It is not cocky. That level of confidence is necessary. You have to be that confident in entrepreneurship, because when your girlfriend tells you your idea sucks, when your parents tell you your idea sucks, when your friends tell you your idea sucks, and you're a year into the business and you're still not making money, your confidence in your idea and yourself will be all that you have. And every single entrepreneur out there, okay, Steve Jobs, you know how many people told him, you're just building a thing in your garage, kid, this is not going to take off? You know how many people told Zuckerberg that Facebook was a stupid idea? Not enough to put them out, because they had that level of confidence in themselves, in their ideas. So if you're not going to be that confident in yourself, who's going to be? So you need to start convincing yourself, however you got to do it. And I talk about confidence and how to actually believe in yourself in an episode of this show. And if you struggle with that, because most people do, I would highly recommend you listen to that, because I take a different approach to it. I don't like to just say, oh, believe in yourself. That's not enough, all right? If that was enough, the whole world would be crushing it already. If all I had to do was tell you, believe in yourself, to get you to believe in yourself, that would be amazing. But in that episode, I teach you how to use numbers and logic and your past results to justify why you can actually do something. And when you can get to a logical point in your mind where you can actually justify, like, of course I can do it, that is when you will have the correct amount of belief and confidence to execute on your ideas. You need a lot of confidence. Now, an overconfidence bias is another thing that can happen in entrepreneurship, where we get so excited about an idea and we say, oh, it's going to work, it's going to work, it's going to work. And it's better to be overconfident than less confident, for sure, because it's better to fall flat on your face with an idea than to never do it at all, all right? Never doing it at all is the worst thing you can ever do. And I really hope you take that home. You got a business idea? Go open it. Go fall flat on your face. Go make no money for the next 2 years, and then learn what actual entrepreneurship is. Because at the end of those 2 years, which is a small fraction of your life, you will be able to open whatever business you want to. Maybe your first business does crush it. Okay, you're not going to find many business owners who crushed it with their first business who did not have their hand held by a coach. And we will certainly be talking about that, because I would be nothing without the mentors that I've been paying for the last 8 years. I've invested tens of thousands of dollars in my further business education, because I will go right out and tell you there are zero things that I use from my 5-year degree getting a communication studies degree with a business minor. There are absolutely zero things that I ever recall from school, from, you know, all these business classes. And I went to a decent university. I mean, it's a state college. I went to Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado. I know I should say go Rams after that, but at the same time, I'm saying that they didn't do anything for me. So whatever, I'm not going to say that. But I got into sales, all right? I was in sales early in college, and I will tell you that I would also be nothing without direct sales. Now, I'm not going to get into my direct sales job, because that is, you know, going back the previous 7 or 8 years that I had been doing that. But what I will quickly say is that if you're in college and you're working a job like a waiter, or you're working somewhere that is not building a skill that you will need later in life, I know that your college is padding your resume with the stuff it needs, right? The GPA, the degree itself, to apply for some of the jobs out there. But you will get jobs so much better, and you keep your jobs, more importantly, and be able to get promoted within these jobs by your skill sets, okay? Your resume will get you the job, or it'll get you in the door at least, but your skill set, your actual ability to execute on the job correctly, will keep you there and will get you promoted. So if you are not doing something throughout college that is building a skill that you actually will be able to take with you for the rest of your life, regardless of, you know, like I could burn my college degree and it would mean nothing at this point. I know I'll never use it, because I gained so many skills through sales and entrepreneurship By the time I had graduated, that I was like, I already learned so much more from everything else I did than college. I don't even need it at this point. I don't regret college because I didn't know that I was going to get a sales job and be extremely into entrepreneurship by the time that I left college. And it was a great time, right? College is a freaking awesome time. So I don't regret it at all. But because there's no way that I could have known that it would do nothing for me. But if you're not gaining skills that will help you towards the later part of your life, stop worrying about getting a consistent paycheck, because these minimum wage jobs or just barely above minimum wage jobs are barely giving you that much money anyways. And I did sales and I sucked at it for 3 years. All right. I mean, like, I didn't suck, you know, as much as most people, but I was okay making barely any money for the first year and barely paying rent, and then kind of being a little bit better for my entire second year, and then being, you know, quite a bit better my third year. And then fourth year, I finally got really good. Okay. Like, you have to be okay sucking at something long enough. And most people do something for a couple weeks, like when they start a new sales job. There's probably some of you listening right now, they're like, yeah, you went to the training, you went to the interview, and for some reason you thought, oh, I can't do it, and you didn't even try. Or you did it for a month or two and got, you know, below average results or average results in a lot of cases, and you're just like, oh, I can't do it, it's hard. If it's hard, you should be doing it. If it's easy, you need to get the hell out of it immediately, especially if you're young. If you're young, you need to be gaining skills. I can't tell you how important it is that your 20s are focused around two major things: gaining as many skills as you can, and the second thing being trying as many things as you can. Because there are so many people who are in their 40s that are like, wait, what am I doing for a career right now? This is what I have a degree in, and then this is like what I stuck with because I felt like I should, and I've gotten promoted through this company, and now I've worked here for this many years, but like, I don't like this job at all. And at that point, they're not at the point of their life where they can experiment, because they have multiple kids, and some of them are about to go to college, or they at least need to save up for it, or maybe they have medical issues, or maybe they have a parent that is dependent on them. You can't take risks in your 40s and 50s nearly as easily as you can in your 20s and 30s. So know that if you can't get yourself to do it in your 20s, you're not going to do it later. You need to know that. You need to know that you're not going to take those risks later if you can't get your mind around it when you're younger and you don't have people dependent on you and you don't have like, and you're like, if anything, you know, you're still dependent on your parents in a way. Like, you can push the mommy and daddy button, right? When you're in your early 20s, if you need help with rent, you can push the mommy and daddy button. So it was necessary for me to have that for my first year or two of sales. And guess what? My mom wanted me to quit that sales job for like the first 5 years that I was there. And then finally, like year five, when I was crushing it, then she's like, oh, it's a good thing you stuck around. I'm like, yeah, do you remember when you told me to get a job at Arby's after year three, just because I had a day of no one buying from me? Do you remember when you told me to get the resume ready when I made 75K in 1 year? And you said, oh, well, you can make 80K here. Okay, there's so many people in your life, especially non-entrepreneurs, will never get it. Okay, or it's freaking hard for them to get it. All right, there really is two different types of people when it comes down to careers. There's people that like the idea of entrepreneurship but can work a salary job, and there's some people that have no chance of being happy unless they are an entrepreneur. I am the latter of the two. There is no possible way I can be happy if I have to have a dress code, have to show up to work at a certain time, and don't have complete creative control over the company. Even my mom's like, oh, you should get a job at Google. I'm like, unless they are hiring for a new CEO of board or board of directors, there's no way someone is going to hand me tasks and then I do them for them. I am in charge. It has to be that way. Unless I can have creative control over the business, I don't even know why I'm alive. That's my mindset on entrepreneurship. I'm not encouraging that that's what your mindset should be, because that mindset does have a downside to it. And it's that a lot of times entrepreneurs, because we are okay taking on risk for high upside, the reason why we are like that is because we're not easily content, okay? We're not content with the 9-to-5, 75K a year lifestyle with like weekends off and a few vacation weeks a year. Like we would rather work 80 hours a week for the chance that maybe in a few years our business takes off and then we can vacation freely, even though we're workaholics, so we're still going to work anyways, okay? Like, entrepreneurship is a different road, and it is hard for people to get that who are not in it, all right? Like I told you, my parents, who are very supportive but do not understand entrepreneurship, were discouraging me to be an entrepreneur for years, all right? My girlfriend discouraged everything I did, everything I brought up for entrepreneurship. She thought she was helping me out by always being the devil's advocate and just telling me why my ideas probably wouldn't work, thinking that that was helpful. So what I would say to you guys, I'll just quickly, interject away from that, is that if you do have an entrepreneur in your life and they come to you with business ideas, it is okay to bring up, here's the ways that it couldn't work. But the last thing you want to do is think that your initial thoughts of the business have anything to do with it. Okay. Like if you think, like this is what people do.
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
Someone says, here's a business idea. And the other person says, oh, I don't think I would be a customer for that business, so it must be a bad business idea. You need to understand that if you ever hear an idea for entrepreneurship, it could sound stupid, like crazy, out of left field. How many products do you know that exist nowadays that you would have, if someone told you that idea for the product before it was invented, you'd be like, that's the stupidest idea. Okay, there's millions of products and services that exist nowadays that you would never buy, and they seem like the stupidest business idea to you. But your opinion of it doesn't matter. The market's needs and the actual data is all that matters. So know that whenever someone comes to you with a business idea, the next step is to then look at the numbers rather than make up your conclusion about, oh, whether you think it's a good idea or not, because you cannot possibly know without doing the research. You are one person, and if you think your opinion matters for if it will work or not, you're essentially saying that a survey of one people is conclusive evidence. Okay, if you're not the ideal customer, then that one survey result doesn't even matter for considering in the data and the analytics. All right, so just know that whenever you have people in your life that are talking about entrepreneurship, if you already understand entrepreneurship and you've done it for years, I'm sure you can already have this conversation with them, very well. But if you're new as well and you're just hearing the ideas and you're like, I don't know, I don't like that idea, stop it. Okay. Entrepreneurs do need people to encourage them because it can be years of not making much money. But the other thing entrepreneurs need is that even if everyone in their life does not encourage what they're doing, you are the main person that you listen to. It's not just common, it is completely necessary. To be an entrepreneur, you need to have so much confidence in yourself that no matter what the world around you is saying, you do not care. You know what you need to do. You know what you're committed to doing. You know why you're doing it. You have a purpose. And there's nothing that anyone can say that will deter you away from that idea. Entrepreneurs rarely blindly listen to their parents. Very rarely. Okay, your parent would have to be an entrepreneur. Otherwise, I look at it like my parents can't possibly give me advice on entrepreneurship. They couldn't possibly give me advice on entrepreneurship because that's not their character at all. They don't understand that not only do I have to be an entrepreneur, or, you know, not only do I like entrepreneurship, but I literally have to in order to have a chance at being happy, because I could not be happy as a salary worker. And that's just like, they don't understand that, right? So I can't take their advice. They have $0 in entrepreneurship sales. So why would I take their advice? Even though they completely support me and have my back and are very loving parents, it's not that they lack support. It's that they lack the knowledge to even give me advice on it. And that was the same with the girl that I was dating at the time. And that's been the same with 90% of the people that are in my inner circle in my life, because they're not entrepreneurs and they don't get it. All right. So you have to know, take advice from entrepreneurs who are ahead of you. Take advice from people who are doing what you want to do and have done it successfully. But no matter who they are, even if it's your husband or wife, if they do not understand you on that level and they do not understand the business more than you, do not listen to their advice. You have to know that you cannot blindly listen to their advice. Very key. Very key. All right. Now let's go back to the actual podcast. All right. When I started it, I had no idea what it would become. How did I get my initial following apart from just being called Instagram Marketing Secrets and laying out content? I started doing interviews. All right. I started interviewing people with a lot of followers. I interviewed Jersey Champs, who had 1.6 million followers at the time, and I got him to shout it out. Okay, I don't know how many that got me, but it was sure quite the boost when I was a new podcast, just finding people who had a lot of followers, interviewing them on the show. Okay, simple as that. Then what I started doing is I started building up my Instagram. Like, I didn't start the actual podcast Instagram, which is IGM Secrets, if you don't already follow. And I didn't start that for like a month or two after the podcast. I was like, all right, this is actually becoming something now, so I'm going to create an Instagram around it. And what I did is I took all of my podcast listeners and I had an effort of moving them over to follow me on Instagram rather than just say, go follow me on Instagram. So I started trading reviews of my podcast for personalized coaching. All right. I created a win-win-win-win-win offer. Very necessary in entrepreneurship. In fact, that is all influence is. The only way to consistently get people to do things is by creating win-win offers. If I said, hey, like, please, like, review the podcast, I'd really appreciate it, some of you would do it because they're like, sure. But the only way that I was consistently able to just get like a lot of reviews right away is I said, hey, if you review the podcast and then you DM me at IGM Secrets, I will give you some personalized advice for your account. Now that I'm already saying that out loud, I guess I got to offer that. We're almost 30 minutes into the episode, so I'm safe. If I say it at the beginning of an episode, I'll probably be screwed with the amount of DMs that I get. And I've kind of got a list right now that I still have to attack, which, guys, I will get to you. I get to every single person eventually. So if you're on my list right now, don't worry. I will get to you eventually, but that's all you do. You review the podcast, you screenshot it, you DM me it, and guess what? After they would DM me, then I would DM them back, and then I'd give them some amazing advice, okay? I'd give them 3 tips that they had never heard before that was specific to your account, and what that would do is gain a lot of trust with them. Then they would, you know, naturally just follow my account. I'd get a podcast review and we'd DM each other back and forth, and it created that initial engagement. So that is how I created not just my initial following, but my initial engaged following of customers, because the only people that were interested in that advice enough to, you know, after they got done with their podcast drive to then review it and then screenshot it and DM me, that showed that they were an extra level of commitment to their business. And a lot of the people who did that actually ended up buying my course or my other coaching packages later because it already qualified them. So those were the main people that I needed to attract. And that's how I got my initial reviews and my initial my initial Instagram following pretty quickly. Then after that, it was finally time that I had enough podcast listeners that I needed to start monetizing it a little bit further. So I got into some affiliate marketing, and I'm not going to dive into that quite yet. I will in just a few minutes, but I got into affiliate marketing, which is, in a nutshell, I recommend products that I use through an affiliate link. So if you do end up buying it, I just make a small commission on it. And apart from that, I came up with an initial coaching offer. And this was not a way for me to make money, as it was to find out who my ideal customers were and let me take control over some other people's Instagrams. Because at this point, I had only run my e-commerce company, which is in the aquarium industry, I had only run that account successfully. Now, I knew that all of my strategies could work for other people, but I hadn't actually done it yet, okay? I knew that there would be some learning curve. I knew there would be some things that, you know, there, like realtors. How do I translate this stuff for realtors? How do I translate this stuff for, you know, every type of business? There's so many freaking types of businesses out there. So I came up with some initial value offerings, and I sold them dirt cheap just so I could get some quick sales and some customers. I was way over delivering on these packages. So sorry, these are not available anymore. But the offer was $45 for, I would write them it usually ended up being 5 pages, but some people even got like a 6 or 7 page document just completely typed out of everything they need to do on their Instagram, everything they need to do on, you know, their next marketing tactics and everything. So let me just say real quick, whenever people think, oh, I think I can just listen to the podcast and be okay, and I think that's all of the value that you have, could you write yourself 5 pages of material for what you need to do? Because it's really easy for me to look at an account and write you that many pages, as I would hope that you're that good at your job too. You're amazing at your job. My job is to do that. I do it full time. So of course I'm good at it. So I would write these people like 5 to 7 pages and blow their minds, right? That was like $45, way too cheap. But I sold like 20 of those packages, and like pretty much all 20 of them were in totally different industries. Some of them were influencers, some of them were musicians, some of them e-commerce, some of them coaches, realtors, there's a garage door designer, plenty of different industries, okay? And I figured it out for all of them. I wrote them these pages. Excellent. The other package that I sold, it was $100, and I would write out 1 month's marketing plan. And this was not the how to tweak your account, how to tweak your bio, tweaking your hashtags, stuff like that, that the first package was. This was the actual, like, really advanced strategies. My masterclass that I have available will show you one of them, one of the about 20 advanced strategies that I have that you'll never find online, because I started the podcast because I couldn't find them online. And I would just give away one of those strategies dependent on what they needed, because a lot of them do take like a month to execute on. And I sold like 5 of those packages. And then I created like a 3-month business plan package, which was essentially just, you know, that 99 package, but I would do it for 3 months. And then a 6-month package as well. Just sold a couple of those. I think like 2. After that, after I had serviced about 25 different accounts, or, you know, right around there, and that took me a few months to deliver on all that material. As you can imagine, like, I think the most I ever did in one day of those 5-page document that I would send people would be like, I think like 2. Like, it was hard to like do that for very long, especially because I'd have to be on Instagram looking at their Instagram, and it's really easy to get distracted. That's why I'm always about like, do your Instagram stuff and then get the hell off the app before you get trapped in the vortex. But it took me a while to deliver all of that content. And by that time, once I had learned that, okay, now I know how to translate my strategies into every single type of business out there, that's when I ran into a webinar, okay? And I found this webinar on selling digital courses. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm sorry, I just looked at my note here. I need to backtrack 1 second, because I'd like to tell you guys about a resource that I used. Whenever you're a new entrepreneur who's more just like kind of testing business ideas, I do everything like super lean and super cheap. And there's this website called freeonlinewebstore.com. I'm pretty sure it's that. I don't use it anymore, but I used it to create a website. I'll have it linked in my description, and it will be an affiliate link, even though it's free. If you do ever get the paid version, I'll just make a small, like, I don't know, $3 or something off of it. So if you use the link, I'd appreciate it. But I'll throw that in the notes for Free Online Web Store, because it's the only free website maker that can also accept payments on the free version. So I just created a basic template and all of those offers, I just created like basic pages for them so that I could actually send people to a page where they could officially check out rather than just saying, you know, PayPal me or whatever, which is not a bad idea, but I wanted to be a little bit more legit about it since I had four different types of offers. And yeah, so free online web store is a great resource to test business ideas. If you don't want to, you know, you don't even have to buy a domain. It was like DerekVidal-myonlinewebstore.com. So it was completely free, just minus the standard PayPal fees when I accepted payments. All right. So going back to, you know, I had delivered on all the coaching packages and I already knew about the digital course industry from reading the book Expert Secrets from Russell Brunson. If you want to sell digital courses or you're a coach of any kind and you have not read Expert Secrets, you are vastly far behind the rest of the market right now. That book is the Bible of selling online coaching of any kind. You need to get that book immediately, all right? I'm not even a beat around the bush. I cannot believe people when they sell digital courses and have not read the Bible of all digital course books. So it's called Expert Secrets by Russell Brunson, but it got me really into the idea of selling digital courses because, you know, I had been selling products online and not only do you got to buy them and market them and you know, store them and ship them and all this stuff, I really like the idea of selling a digital product that I don't have to keep in stock and that is truly scalable because you can just keep selling more and more of a digital product, right? So I ran into a webinar from someone that I won't name, but it was a great webinar and it was a course on how to make courses because I knew as a veteran entrepreneur, I knew there was no way I was going to start a brand new business without a coach. That is something only new entrepreneurs think they should do. Only brand new entrepreneurs think, oh, I've got a business idea. I don't need a coach. I'll act on it. You'll never see anyone who has been an entrepreneur for over 5 years attack a business without a coach because only new entrepreneurs are cocky. There are way more cocky entrepreneurs who have been one for 6 months or a year than there are entrepreneurs who have been around for 20 years. Because the statement, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know, is completely true. And this was totally certain, like totally true in my sales job too. There's all these kids that would come on to the new sales job. They would do okay in the first week or two and they'd be like, oh my God, I'm amazing at this. And then once they had been there for a year, they would start to get humble that, okay, now that I'm talking to the 17-year reps, I can see that I actually don't know anything at all. And then you'd be there for 5 years. And then your innovator would start going and you'd be like, wow, I actually know now that I know even less than I did in year one. Obviously, year five, you have more experience, but you also are aware of so many more things that you could be doing that you don't know about that, you know, it was only a year or two into the business that I was like, of course, I'm going to invest in a mentor. And I would never do any other business any other way. All right. Like it's so important you understand this. If you think you don't need a coach, I already know that you've been an entrepreneur for less than 5 years because it's only a beginner thought to think that way. But then I didn't buy his course on how to build courses. I saw another webinar that was awesome. I did not buy his. The first one was $1,000. The second course was $2,000. And then the third webinar I saw, this guy had an offer for $5,000 for a course on how to build courses. And I said, there we go. There's an actual serious commitment level. And his name is Dan Henry, and I freaking love him. And Dan Henry has sold over $11 million of online courses. And his course, the reason why I bought his for $5,000 rather than the other two courses at $2,000 is because his came with coaching calls on it. And I knew that as long as I could get some course material, as well as have someone to talk to when I inevitably screw up, because again, only new entrepreneurs think that they're not going to screw up. veteran entrepreneurs just know that it's a given and it will for sure happen no matter how much preparation you do. I needed to have someone there to talk to because I didn't know anyone else personally that's a digital course creator. There's no one else that I can possibly talk to besides my friends and family who can just say, oh, that's a good idea. I think you're onto something, which is always wrong because they don't have any experience. So do not take advice from people who do not have experience or who are not doing what you're doing. And I knew that. And because I did not know anyone who was a successful digital course creator personally, I didn't want to buy a course that did not have coaching calls in it. And his did. It was $5,000. It was no problem. The day I bought it is the day that I felt successful. Because as soon as you financially commit yourself something to something is when you are actually committed. What I will tell you guys right now, I do have a course, all right? I'll tell you about it later. And by no means is this episode geared to just sell you a course. Hopefully you've already gotten that by now that I'm actually telling you how to open a business. But to get some reviews on my course, I gave it away for free to a few friends. And zero of the six people that I've given my course away to for free have ever started it. Even though they said, oh, awesome, I love it. All of them own businesses. And I said, when I gave it to them, I said, there's one condition I'm going to give this to you. You have to watch the first module in the first week I give it to you. And still, I just checked, zero out of six of them have ever watched a single video. And it's because they're not financially committed to it. And I have bought so many courses for like $40, $10, like $1, you know, $100. I've never watched any of them. And it is not anything to do with laziness. It is everything to do with we already have a full schedule at all times. So when it comes down to just like, you know, digesting this free content that like eventually the email that has your login info for the course you bought gets buried, you won't touch it. But guess what? As soon as I bought that $5,000 course, you know that I had already watched like 5 hours of it by the end of the day. Everyone who has actually spent money on my course has watched it, and they've watched like over 50% of it, and they watch it almost immediately, and they actually get results because they have skin in the game. They have money that they have to win back. If the gym was free, okay, if America paid for the gym and it was just paid for by taxpayers, we'd have the biggest obesity problem ever because no one would be going to the gym because it's free. If you don't pay for it, you're not committed to it. And I didn't want to play around in this kiddie pool of here's $2,000. I'm actually committed to my business. I'm like, 5K, that's where I'm fucking at. Oh, my first F-bomb on the show. But that's how I was feeling because I had already been an entrepreneur long enough to know that that's how it works and that's how psychology works, that if there's no skin in the game, then there is no skin in the game. And as soon as I spent $5,000 on that course, I was already like, cool, I'm a course creator because there is no way I'm not making my money back. And now I have to make $5,000 back, game on. All right, so that's when I got really focused and that's when I started creating my IGM University course. Now guys, I'm not promoting my course in this episode. I am teaching you how to open a business. So what am I actually doing? I came up with starter packages that were way too cheap that I was just over delivering on value. So one, I could figure out who my customers were. Two, I could get really good at creating my product because I just needed people to be like, yo, let me run your Instagram so I can like know how to run all these Instagrams. Like I mostly did it from my own knowledge, but if I gave it away for free, one, too many people would have asked for it. And two, none of them would have read what I gave them. None of them would have read the worksheets. None of them would have watched the videos that I gave them because they would have zero skin in the game. So that's why I don't want things for free, okay? If you want things for free, you are not going to get results. You need to pay for stuff if you're actually committed to it. Again, do not think I'm selling my course here. I'm talking about psychology. I'm telling you guys how to actually be an entrepreneur in this episode, all right? You have to have skin in the game. So yeah, so I delivered those packages so I could, you know, get a little cash injection, sure, but it was mostly so that I could get reviews, because all those people that I sold those packages to, I got reviews from all of them, right? That was like one of the conditions. The only way I'm giving it to you this cheap is that after you get it and you love it, you have to write me a review. So I was able to get all of these reviews from those initial packages that I sold, as well as the knowledge that I needed to then create a course, because the those 5-page documents, once I brought them all together cumulatively, you know, at that point I had what, like 70 pages of Instagram material that I had written out for accounts in every different industry. That's how I built the course. Now I'm going to give you some secrets too, like straight out of Dan's like course selling program, because the thing that I did after that was not create the course. Because again, you don't want to sell, you don't want to put money into the game for buying a product or service, or spending way too much time creating a product or service that you don't have proof of yet. So everything I'm teaching you is directly related to every single business, all right? For e-commerce, let's say for like a product, you don't buy $10,000 worth of a product, then send it to a warehouse and put it online and hope it sells. No, you run a pre-order for it before to make sure that people are actually willing to pay money for it before you buy it, all right? And that's something that I teach in my masterclass of how to run a pre-order so that you can raise funds to buy a product, and more importantly, get the validation that people are actually willing to spend money on it. I did the same thing with this course. So what I did is I created a beta program. So this was like in between my initial coaching packages and then the course as it is today. I did a beta course. I had not made the course yet, all right? All I had made was the modules. I had it all in my head, all right? The course was created in my head and it was throughout all of these PDFs that I had written out for people. But I had not actually made like the videos and stuff. However, like following Dan's program, which I would have been completely lost. Oh my God, I would not be doing this podcast right now if I didn't buy the course from Dan. I'd be so lost. And like I said, entrepreneurship is a race, and I wasn't going to let the opportunity of an Instagram course niche or the Instagram podcast niche disappear from my hands just because I couldn't act on it quick enough, just because I'm too stubborn to think, oh, well, I'm brand new. I know what I'm doing. I'll be able to win the race and put out working material faster than anyone else. So I invested in the top coach so that I knew that I could actually win my entrepreneurship race. And that's what I did. All right. So what I did is I created a Facebook group, all right? Instagram Marketing Masters. Go join if you're not already in it. This is my free group. And what I did is I went live in that group. Like I had done a bunch of promotion. Like, hey, I'm going to go live at this time, on this day, like for weeks. I promoted it on the podcast. Like if you go back and listen to old episodes, you'll certainly hear everything I'm talking about. You will now go back and listen to former podcast episodes and see exactly where it lines up with. But I had created a beta program. I had not made the course yet. They didn't even know that. This is probably the first time you're hearing about it. I had not even started making the course, apart from I knew exactly what I wanted the modules to be, exactly what I wanted the lessons to be. And I made it not only with the initial coaching packages that I sold, but from extensive surveying, okay? I created a survey that asked people, what are your biggest fears with Instagram? What are the main things that you want to learn? All of these questions that I needed to know in order to make a course that was based on data and not assumptions. Everything you do in entrepreneurship, yes, essentially entrepreneurship is a risk, but you need to be as risk averse as possible. So don't try to create an offer based off of what you think in your head people want, because then you are basing your opinion off a survey of one, and one very biased person who is always going to rule in favor of, oh, I think people would spend that. Oh, I think people want that because I think I would want that, right? If I was them, I would want it. Yeah, totally. Absolutely not. All right. I got about 60 responses to this survey. And how did I get people to fill out the survey? I created a win-win scenario. If they filled out the survey, they got something for free. I can't even remember what they got. But if they filled out the survey, they got something for free. I collected 60 responses to learn exactly what people wanted to learn from Instagram, as well as what their biggest fears were from it, which is very key. And I created my beta webinar and my beta course outline. So I went live in the Facebook group, and I think there was about 50 people that attended, because I went live twice. I did it two times, and there was like 50 people between the two sessions. And I talked for an hour, and I did some teaching. And then at the end of it, I tried to sell my initial course, and I tried to sell it at like a very low price, of course, and just to see if people would buy it. I wasn't going to make a course that I had no proof of people if they would buy it, because now my course is over 20 hours of material. Can you imagine? Like, that it took me about 60 hours probably to make that, plus the, you know, 20 hours of recording. Like, I would be putting in 80 hours of work, which is, you know, multiple weeks. Like, yeah, oh, you can do that in 1 week, but it still is like, you know, there's other stuff you have to do besides that. So like, on top of all the other things I needed to do, because I still owned two other companies at that time. But I sold my program, saying in 2 weeks, like, if you buy my course today, you will be in my initial group of students. You will see me perform the material live. You will get to ask live questions as I go through the material. And then I will create the revised version, which you will get for free. So if you want to be in my beta coaching program and be the first people to ever see my course, you get it at a discount. But the only thing is that, one, you have to give me reviews after you love it, and two, you have to give me plenty of advice, all right? So I sold it to 15 people. I sold my initial course to 15 people. Then for 2 weeks, I worked nonstop to actually build the course out, all right? I completely built all of the slides. There was like 1,300 slides. It was ridiculous. I didn't stop working, but it needed to happen because I had 15 people buy. So luckily, I was good with my initial offer. If no one bought, then I would know I would need to change the course before making it, right? So it was really important. And again, this is applicable for every single thing you do. It's called an MVP, a minimum viable product. You need to create a minimum viable product. And I would highly recommend that you guys read the book called The Lean Startup. The Lean Startup is an incredible book for anyone who wants to be a startup entrepreneur and doesn't want to fall flat on their face the first time. One of the main things is create a minimum viable product that you can sell at the beginning, because you cannot base your business off of your assumptions in your head. You can only base it off of the numbers and the actual credit card swipes, not people telling you, oh, I like that. That's a cool product. I would think I would buy that. Until they give you a credit card number, they have not actually said that they would buy it, okay? You need to know that. So I created the minimum viable product. It sold well, awesome. So I was moving right along, but mostly I was able to do that right the first time because I had done so much extensive surveying and I had already sold a decent amount of individual coaching. So I had a good idea of who my client was and why they were buying. So then I delivered the course, then I got all their testimonials, then I got all their feedback from it, and then I created the second version of the course. I created the next version of the webinar. Now I'm on webinar version 5, actually, because it is a constant process of pivoting and adjusting is what entrepreneurship is. You've got your idea, then you're going to go out and there's going to be plenty parts of it that don't work. Man, I can't tell you, I don't think there's probably been anyone in the history of the world whose entrepreneur idea that they thought of in the first week is how it was still running as a business like 3 years into it. And entrepreneurship is just being able to be patient through that process and knowing, well, I'm not going to quit, so I guess I'm just in it until it works, all right? That's really what entrepreneurship is. I'm going to lose until I win, and I'm okay losing as long as I have to until I win. But, you know, obviously, if you actually invest in your learning and doing things like that, that's really the only thing that you can do to make it so you don't have to fail your way to success. If you're a brand new entrepreneur without a coach, you will fail your way to success. You don't know it yet because you're brand new and you're like, oh, I don't think it's that complicated. I've got my business idea. And if, within a couple weeks of acting on it, you're going to find out there's a ton of stuff that you don't know. And there will be a lot of problems that come up to you. And that's fine, but I'm not going to ever tell you that entrepreneurship is easy. It is just worth it. Now, before I get into like what the course is like actually today and like the final things of how I was able to, you know, get the podcast to where it is and get everything sustainable and, you know, having sales coming in automatically, I will say that when I had the idea to make the course again, I was still with that girl at that time. I gave her the idea and she told me it was a horrible idea. Why would anyone want to spend that much money on an Instagram course? Because again, she was doing her survey of one person, which was herself as a non-business owner, who would not be a potential customer at all. And it was very hard to get her support. And, you know, our relationship was great in a lot of ways, but it was a deal breaker for me, and I could not get her support for being an entrepreneur, and it was something that she was going to have to deal with forever. So I did have to cut the cord on that relationship. So it was sad, but it was, I could not communicate to her in a way to get her support consistently. So I'm not necessarily telling you guys, hey, if you got a girlfriend who can't support you, you know, cut the cord, but make sure that you really get as honest with them as possible and tell them why you're an entrepreneur. Because the thing that, you know, looking back that I do wish I communicated is that a lot of times when people think of entrepreneurs and you're telling them business ideas, they think you're doing it for the money. But really, money-obsessed entrepreneurs pretty much never make it. The core source of my motivation has always been, if I can run a successful business, then if I have triplets that want to go to Harvard at the same time, I can afford it. That's always how I said it as a kid. Now that I'm not as into college, I probably need to reword that. But I didn't want money to be a worry for my family, my direct family. I don't want it to be a worry for grandparents, grandkids. Literally, I want to be so financially well off that I can support everyone. And I want to do something that I actually enjoy the process of doing, which is certainly this. And I want to do something that brings value to the world apart from just, you know, doing my single job at a company that I don't feel like I'm making an actual difference in the world. Without all of those things satisfied, then I'm not content. And I work so hard for my future and for whoever will be in my future. And I think it's something that she never really got, that she thought I was just kind of doing it for the money or to like impress people or to seem cool or to, because entrepreneurship is cool. But it was not ever something that I could actually communicate to her. If you're on either side of this and you have someone in your life, and this is apart from just like a girlfriend, it could be, you know, wife, husband, friends, family, whoever, you got to have an honest moment with them and try to explain as best as you can why you are an entrepreneur to your core and what your main reasons for doing it are. Because if they don't understand the core motivations for why you're doing it, then every business idea you hit them with might just, it will be perceived the wrong way. And it's something that I wish I could have communicated better. I don't think it would have changed anything. It needed to happen either way. The main thing that I'm trying to teach you guys in being vulnerable and telling you about like my actual, you know, relationship throughout this entrepreneur journey, because I know it, all of you are having these issues. Like, you can't be an entrepreneur with big ideas without people in your life who do matter to you down talking your ideas. And that will be a major test for you. You know who a rock star's biggest hater is their parents, typically. All right. Almost like every like major musician very rarely has their parents' full support. And whenever you are taking on any kind of individual solo journey, you know, you're not working for a salary, your pay is going to be completely dependent on your sales and what you can actually do. People in your life that do care about you will not want to see you fall flat on your face. So they will naturally be risk averse for you. And they think they're helping when they're really not helping at all. But if you can explain it to them in the best way possible, which I found is these are the reasons why I'm actually doing it. This is why my heart is calling me to do this. I'm not doing it to be impressive. I'm not doing it because I'm trying to get rich or buy a Lamborghini or any of those things. When you can communicate your actual reasons why, that is the only way that you can get their support on your side, in my experience. So even if you don't get it, if you're a true entrepreneur that's really sure about your idea, then it won't matter in the end. But try to surround yourself with people who do support you and do have the right mentality about entrepreneurship as much as possible, because it's just that much easier when people reach out to you and tell you they believe in you. But a key part of entrepreneurship is that when people tell you they believe in you, you get motivated. And when people tell you they don't believe in you, you get motivated. No matter what people tell you, all it does is lead to motivation to do what you know in your heart you do need to do. All right. So basically, guys, wrapping up here in November, December, the last 2 months has been me creating my official Instagram masterclass. I run Facebook and Instagram cold ads to people to go watch my free 1 hour webinar. Then I blow their minds. If you haven't watched it yet, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Go watch it. You'll know what I'm talking about. It's the most advanced material that I have. IGMsecrets.com/masterclass. Or if you're just going to go through it just so you can see the funnel that I'm talking about. Then at the end of that, if people do want to work with me further, I have a IGM University course, which is $997. And basically, it is a full 20-hour A to Z course. You definitely don't have to watch all of it right away. Most people watch part of it and then they act, and they go back and watch part of it and then they act on it, and they just go through it like that. But it also contains bi-weekly group coaching calls, because I know that's something that I really wanted when I was buying my initial course. It's $9.97 right now at the time of this recording. It will be more. I can guarantee you that in the future, but at the time of this recording, that's what it's at. And it has the full course, and it's got bi-weekly group coaching calls. So people come on after they try to apply the material, then they come on the calls, and we record all the calls, and we put all the calls in the course too, so that people can watch them later. And it has been absolutely phenomenal for the students that are involved and who are actually working through the material. So everyone I gave the course to for free hasn't even opened it yet, because that's how psychology works. But everyone who has actually paid for it has done very well with it. And now it took me a year before I was ready to do it. But now I have a business where I can spend money on paid ads and then get more money in return revenue than those paid ads cost. And once you do that, that is what an online business is nowadays. When you can spend money on paid ads and you get more in sales, that is the only way to have a business that just runs in the background. Because if you rely on only organic marketing, like a lot of new business owners want to do, because, oh, let's just post for free, I don't want to do the paid stuff, we can't afford that. You actually can't afford not to do paid marketing if you understand that you don't want to post on Instagram multiple times a day, every single day for 5 years, nor is that, you know, a sustainable business plan, but you actually have to create something that is passive, all right? So now I have this income stream that is essentially passive, where I run people to the ads, I run people to the webinar, they watch the webinar, I gain all this contact information, so much stuff happens. You see retargeting ads, which retargeting ads are imperative to profitable marketing. You cannot spend money on cold ads and not also spend money on retargeting and expect it to be profitable. You just can't. So I got that down. I did retargeting ads. I've recorded so much. I have worked so much, guys. I have not gotten much break in the last year at all. I was expecting to be rolling in it this last year, but this last year set me up so that 2020 actually could be great for me. And it took me a year of diligent, hard work to create that passive income stream. And it's a small fraction of my entire life. And it will be completely worth it for me in the end, because this last year has been amazing. I really love you guys who have been listening to the podcast consistently, especially if you made it this far in the episode. This is the longest episode, and I knew it would be, because I was just going to get off on tangents and ramble, because it has been my journey. But I always want to be completely transparent with you guys about what being an entrepreneur is like and how to do it, because this is my third company. And if it wasn't my third company, I'd be at square one still. If I didn't invest in the coach, I would be nowhere near where I am as well, because I'm serious about entrepreneurship, because I'm serious about building income streams for the future of my family, for the future of me, for the impact that I have on the world. And I'm not going to ever risk doing something the wrong way when I can just spend a little bit of money to guarantee that I will do it the right way. So in light of that, guys, if you do like my material, if you do believe that you get good value from my free content, then I probably would be a good coach for you. If you don't like my free content, then I probably wouldn't be. That's how I always tell people to choose. Like, if you do want to invest further with someone, just make sure you listen to all their free content first. And if they actually teach you things in there, then you can imagine how good their freaking paid content is, because there's a reason why they have paid content and free content, and the paid content's the advanced stuff, all right? So if you do want me to work with you personally, I am going to make you an offer because you made it this far on the episode. For $97, all right, I've only done this one other time. For 97 bucks, I will sell you a 1 hour coaching call. At the end of that 1 hour coaching call, it's not just an hour. We always talk for like longer than that because it's usually really fun. And I've done this for a lot of people and it has blown their minds. I can confidently tell you that, because it's like an hour. How much can you teach me in an hour? Well, I can teach you a lot, because for a minimum of an hour before our call, I just research everything about your business. And I've already gone through hundreds of businesses, so I already know exactly where to look in the order. I can quickly analyze a business's social media game, not just on Instagram, but everywhere, as well as their website and everything. I research your business for an hour or more. I take diligent notes. Then we hop on the call for an hour or more. I did one that was an hour 45 the other day. Like, I'm not trying to promote that. I shouldn't have said that at all. But I will be on the call with you until I feel like I've given you enough value, regardless of the time limit, all right? Then I will give you a bunch of info that you had never thought of and probably wouldn't think of for a long time. sorry, I'm being cocky now, probably, to some people. I'm not trying to be. I'm really just trying to be real, because I've already done this for so many people. I already know what's going to happen. So if you just trust me, because I hope you would by now, I am telling you the truth here. We'll hop on this call. We're going to get your business to that next level. It's going to be a very impactful hour for you. At the end of that call, we can call it good, or we can take that $97 directly off the cost of my course. It's essentially a full course with biweekly group coaching calls for a year. So you get 52 hours of cumulative coaching calls over the next year, and you're paying $1,000, which is about $3 a day, to ensure that your business actually goes the way you want it to. So we'll do the, and then you get the free hour of personal coaching. So 97 bucks. You have just DM me if you want to do this. So just DM me at IGM Secrets. Then we'll set that up. We'll get on the call within the next week of you paying for that. No matter what, you're going to get that $100 hour coaching call, which they normally sell for 300 bucks. So it'll be totally worth it to you. But then if you do want to do my course after, I will just take that $100 off. I'll just refund you that $100, and then you can get in the course from there. So hopefully you like that offer. I really am just trying to help you guys out as best as I can, because like I said, this only works if I create win-win scenarios. And the only way I've been able to consistently sell my course and coaching calls is because I will always make you a lot more money than I cost, not just a little bit more. I'm gonna teach you things that will make you a lot more money than I cost, because once I teach it to you, you're gonna know it for the rest of your life. So it's not just an hour's worth of coaching, it's an hour's worth of coaching that you will be able to use for the rest of your life. Even if you go into different businesses, even if Instagram is not a thing in a year, I am going to teach you the way to think about social media, the way to think, like, why am I telling you what to do? There's so many tricks that I can teach you. And when I look at a business specifically, that's the only time I can tell you exactly what to do. And that's the only thing that people usually lack in hearing my podcast and getting results, is the execution. Because this whole episode, I've been teaching you entrepreneurship, but if you don't know how to translate what I'm telling you into your product or service, so if you want to eliminate that gap, then this is why I'm making this offer, because I really want some more success stories. I got a lot of successful students in my course right now, and I'd love to help you in your business, because the world needs more entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs solve the world's problems, and I'm not happy unless I'm helping people. So help me help you help the world. Let's do this together. I'm so glad that you guys made it to the end of this episode. I hope it was valuable for you, because I really did want to just be vulnerable about entrepreneurship and how you should build a business in the first year, because I really don't want you guys to fail. And if you think I can help you with that, again, just DM me at IGM Secrets and we'll take it from there. Thank you so much, guys. I will talk to you next week.